With all its wild ups and downs, the stock market's keeping us all guessing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Throughout the past week or so, and certainly ever since Standard & Poor's downgraded the U.S. credit rating, we've seen gains and drops that have pulled global indices like rubber bands. And the pulling continues upward today. Markets are higher right now by about 2.5% for the Dow, up about 262 points, 10,981. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 each up about 3%. European shares closed higher after a day of big swings across the pond. The FTSE in London up about 3%, and shares in Paris and in Frankfurt up about 2.5%. The U.S. government reported the number of people filing for first-time jobless claims last week fell to a four-month low, below 400,000. And foreclosure listing firm Realty Track said today the number of foreclosures in July fell to a near four-year low. Let's get to the bottom of what's going on with the markets, not only here at home, but also overseas. Mark Gilbert is Bloomberg London Bureau Chief. He's been watching the markets on both sides of the Atlantic, and he's with us on the line now from London. Hi, Mark.
Hi there.
Why so much volatility?
Investors don't really know whether the glass is half full or half empty. They're very cheered that the Fed is doing a lot to try and put up the economy. But at the same time, they're really quite nervous that the need for more Fed action tells you the global growth outlook is really quite bad and that the recovery is faltering. And in that situation, where do you go for safety? That's why gold's up, that's why the Swiss franc's up, but it's why stocks can't quite make their mind up at the moment.
Europe, of course, Mark, had been reacting to rumors today of bank insolvency in France. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we know the French banks own a lot of the debt of those indebted European nations, some of whom have had to have rescues. We know it's been hurting their earnings, but you know what? That's true of the entire banking sector here. France itself is seen as vulnerable. It's a AAA-rated country, and the theory is if the US isn't AAA, maybe France isn't either, and we're seeing that in its bond market. We're seeing it in the derivatives market. The banks generally, though, are known to be exposed to these debt problems that we have in Europe.
What would a French banking crisis mean for the U.S.? Is that the same as the European debt crisis as a whole?
It'd be even worse. The entire banking sector is still very fragile after the credit crunch, which, you know, its four-year anniversary is this year. The holes in the banking sheet still haven't really been repaired. They are still taking big risks in what they do in their businesses. A banking crisis with the global economy this week, you don't want to think about it.
We get jittery, Mark, and we look at the stock markets and we say, oh my gosh, it's up, you know, 500 points, down 600, whatever. Are the markets really telling the story of what's going on with the global economy?
You know, markets run on fear and greed, and at different times fear has the upper hand, at other times it's greed that has the upper hand. What we're seeing at the moment, and in 20 years of watching markets, I've never seen it this bad, it flips between those two emotions almost hour by hour. And what that tells you is investors have no certainty. They've got no certainty in the outlook for the economy. They've got no certainty on what the true value of things is because the central banks are interfering so much in the price of things. There is really no clarity about what's going to happen in the future, and that is the real message of markets at the moment. Times have never been more uncertain.
Mark Gilbert from Bloomberg in London. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Interesting conversation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kelley.iu.edu.
Today we know 9 of the 12 members of a congressional committee looking for $1.5 trillion in federal spending cuts. It includes Republican Congressman Dave Camp from Michigan. Now, Camp told Marketplace this morning the so-called super committee will have to find common ground and put partisanship aside because time is of the essence.
We're required to report by the end of November, so this is going to be a fairly expedited process. And if we don't report, there will be across-the-board cuts that will come into place. And I think the thought of those, I hope, will keep everybody at the table trying to come up with a solution that we actually have some say in as opposed to these across-the-board reductions.
But will the committee be able to make the tough choices? We can draw some parallels with another congressionally established commission put in place to recommend controversial military base closures. Former Congressman James Bilbray served on the Base Realignment and Closure Commission. He's with us now. Congressman, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
I know Congress is naming members of this debt super commission this week. Do actual names and people matter, or do you think it's more about the structure of it?
The things to look at is who is getting appointed to those seats. If the Democratic side points most people that are on the far left, you can get an idea where it's going to go. If you find that there's a lot of Tea Party members, it's going to be very tough, too. On the base closing commission, we had military people, non-military, but it was really not a real partisan group. This will be a very partisan commission. But if they get mainstream Republicans and mainstream Democrats on the committee that can forget the partisan part of it for a while and try to balance it and realize we've got a real problem, this could really work.
Do you think this is sort of Congress punting the ball?
Well, I think that in some people's minds, absolutely. When I was in Congress, I always said I was in the state legislature of Nevada first, that Nevada legislature was geared to pass legislation. The United States Congress is geared not to pass legislation.
What lessons do you think should the debt super commission learn from your base closure commission that you were on?
I think they can look at what we've done over the last 30, 40 years on these base closing commissions and say, hey, this can get done. And the fact is, I think this was a good idea. I really do. Hopefully, they can, in the time that's required, they can get something done so sequestration doesn't have to start when you start having to go across the board with cuts, just slicing instead of really doing surgical removals of problems.
Former Congressman James Bilbray from Nevada, thank you, sir, for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
The numbers that are our website, marketplace.org. The Dow down about up, 2.5%. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.